Welcome to Hellbent, a feminist podcast for those who resist and persist. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Devin.
And Devin, we have assembled like the fucking Avengers.
Like the fucking Avengers.
It hasn't happened in a while.
It really hasn't. Last time was when
Jefferson Beauregard
Sessions.
When we were thinking he might have to resign
right. Because
he lied under oath.
Right.
Now we're back, and this is very related.
This is very related.
Last minisode.
Because while he didn't resign, he recused himself from anything involved with the campaign. We'll get into that,
And unlike that last minisode, which was a drunkisode, this is very much a sober-sode.
This is a sober-sode. We are stone-cold sober.
A, it's like 11 in the morning.
It is.
B,
that doesn't preclude it, though. So let's just be honest.
Yeah. B, I'm dealing with some post-concussion headaches, so
right.
I can't even drink in this scenario.
Yeah.
C, this is very sobering times, literally.
This is very scary.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot to go through, but first, I think we need to talk about the omen.
The omen. This is literally the funniest thing.
That sort of foreshadowed this whole thing. So, just a little quick story, and people in the Facebook group, you might know this because I posted about it. And it was, man, what a day Tuesday, May 9th was, you know?
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God.
It started off, you know, with Jake Tapper mistakenly coming in studs up on me in my mentions, in my Twitter mentions. And then it ended with Trump firing FBI Director James Comey. And that's why we're here. But yeah, it was like very bizarre because what happened is I tweeted on Monday, you know, after the Yates hearing, Yates and Clapper testified. I said, looking forward to Chuck Todd wondering if Sally Yates was overprepared. And I was like referencing, obviously, remarks he made about Hillary Clinton after the debates. And then, so I tweeted this on Monday. I wake up at 7 a.m. on Tuesday, and Jake Tapper is replying directly to me. And he said, these are tweets that have now been deleted. He said, quote, I have no idea what you're talking about. Kindly find me one time I ever said that about anyone. Here's a spoiler alert for anyone following along. She won't find an example, and no correction will be forthcoming.
Well, and then it's just funny because it's like, wait, I was talking about Chuck Todd.
I know, it's like, it's literally in the tweet. I don't understand what's happening. But it turns out, after, you know, a little bit of a back and forth, he meant to reply to someone else who had quote tweeted my tweet and had like tagged him in for whatever reason.
Okay.
They tagged him in. So he explained that to me.
Okay.
And he apologized, and he issued a great piece of Twitter advice, which is never tweet on the treadmill.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's probably a solid policy.
Yeah, so I said, you know, it's all good. It happens to the best of us. Mm-hmm. Like, I've definitely made silly mistakes on Twitter, too.
And absolutely.
I think it's really important to not only own up to your own, like, little errors, but also to like, when you're on the other end of it, to be, like, compassionate and assume the best about people who do apologize.
Yeah.
Like, and I saw the quote tweet, and I was like, okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
It's fine. So anyway, now Jake Tapper and I are best friends.
Well, yeah.
And we follow each other now. Like,
that's amazing.
We're all good. And our interaction, I think, like I said, was definitely a foreshadowing into how weird this day would truly turn out to be.
This day was, it was so bizarre.
It was so bizarre. And so first of all, I think we want to set the scene for what we will be talking about.
Yeah.
So yeah, the first block, I think we want to do just a timeline.
Yes.
We want to go back into, you know, Comey's time as FBI director, and then sort of also interweave some of the Russian investigation stuff just to set the scene, just so we know all the context. And then after that...
Yeah, after that, we'll go into, like, the actual firing, the details of it, what happened, sort of what we know.
Yeah,
And
lots of reports coming out.
Lots of reports coming out, and then obviously the comparisons to Watergate.
Right.
And sort of how that all fits in. And then finally, we'll talk about the implications and reactions and sort of what kind of where to go from here.
Where we're going from here. Yeah, and like we said, we're recording at like 11 a.m. Pacific time, and so things are still unfolding.
Yeah.
So we're not going to have the most up-to-date. We'll certainly continue covering it in our regularly scheduled Thursday podcast. But for now, we felt like we had to assemble.
We just got to get this out.
Yeah, we got to talk about this.
We got to talk about this.
Okay, Devin, so let's get into our first little section, which we want to talk about, sort of just do an overview of the timeline of events. And going back to July, when he was investigating Hillary Clinton and right. emails, and then sort of weave in some of the things we know about Russia and that investigation, because I think that context is super important.
Yeah, we're going to Rachel Maddow this a little bit.
I know. Rachel always comes in with a deep cut. Yeah. We don't have a deep cut,
but we have a little bit of context.
We're going on a journey right now, and this is via the New York Times. Right. So they had a really great piece that highlighted all this.
All right, so basically we start July 5th, 2016, and this was when Comey said that the FBI will not recommend criminal charges against Hillary Clinton for the use of her private email server. And that, you know, that was after massive hearings.
Yeah. And there was a couple of dates in between now and the next date where he basically confirmed, like, I stand behind not charging her. Like I believe he testified before Congress,
yes.
you know,
yeah.
all this stuff. So now we're going to fast forward to October 3rd, 2016, and that's when law enforcement officials seized devices belonging to Anthony Weiner, and he was involved. He was under investigation for, like, inappropriate communications with a minor or mm-hmm. alleged ones, and so that's when they discovered, like, his laptop that contained emails from Hillary Clinton and her aide, Huma Abedin.
Right. They were married at the time, Huma Abedin and Anthony
Weiner. Right. I believe they're separated now.
Yeah. And then sort of... Right, like during that week on October 7th, 2016, the Obama administration officially accuses Russia of meddling in the 2016 election.
Right. And then we didn't get that sort of, like, unanimous intelligence community report until much later. But this was, like, the first public, we're accusing you.
So, right. And then later that month, on the 28th,
as we all know,
is when Comey sends out that letter to the congressional leaders informing them of sort of this, these emails found on Anthony Weiner's laptop.
That there could be additional emails. And then you may have remembered that Jason Chaffetz jizzed his pants.
He did.
On Twitter, all over Twitter. We saw it all. It was very extra.
Yeah.
And he was like, he said something along the lines of, like, case reopened. Ugh. Or like, ugh. Yeah. Anyway, Chaffetz, fuck him.
So, and then a couple days later on October 31st, Trump tweeted, quote, "It took a lot of guts. I really disagreed with him, Comey. I was not his fan. But I'll tell you what he did. He brought back his reputation." So that was Trump on Comey's decision to send out this letter.
And I don't think he tweeted it. I believe it was said at a rally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was at a campaign rally. And just put a pin in this, because this is relevant to some things we're going to talk about later.
We're going to come back to this.
We're going to come back to it, because there was some... pretty preposterous reasons that are apparently why they fired Comey. So just put a pin in that, because Trump was, like, praising Comey
all
for this
happy about
particular
this.
Decision. Okay, so then on November 6th, that's when the FBI concluded that it found nothing to alter its original opinion that it would seek no charges against Clinton. But as we know, the damage had been done.
Right.
New York Times running fucking full page shit on Comey's letter.
Right.
Nate Silver has been pretty adamant that there is pretty strong evidence to suggest that Comey's letter put Trump over the finish line.
Yep.
So yeah, Trump gets elected into office. Welcome to our current fucking nightmare.
Yeah, right.
But let's skip ahead to early January. What happened then?
So basically then, President-elect Trump is informed that by intelligence agency leaders that Russia may possess compromising information about him. So this is sort of the Steele dossier and other information that they had.
Okay.
And he's now briefed on this.
Gotcha, gotcha.
And then later in January, so January 10th, Comey, in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee, refuses to confirm that the FBI is looking into Trump's ties to Russia.
Right.
So he basically he won't confirm or deny.
Right. And we know later that he did, but around this time in January, he didn't. And then sometime after that, that's when Sally Yates warns the Trump administration that Michael Flynn could be compromised.
Yeah, by her testimony the other day.
Sure.
It was January, I just remember this date. It was January 24th
okay.
that she had the second meeting with McGahn.
And McGahn is the White House counsel.
Yeah.
So obviously we covered some of that Sally Yates stuff in our previous episode. And then February 14th is when Michael Flynn is fired as National Security Advisor. And just another note, just in case we forget,
this
came 18 days after Sally Yates warned the White House, it seems like a couple of different times, or had meetings, a few different meetings. And she just for our reference, she was fired almost immediately after these meetings, and it was also after the travel ban where she said she would not sort of defend it. So we don't know.
Ostensibly, that's why she was fired, because she said she wouldn't defend this travel ban. Although now knowing more about this timeline,
we're wondering if this also factored in or if it was the main reason.
Right. And then February 24th, so later that month.
Before we go February 24th, let's also note that J-Dog, the Kush, someone also said we should call him Kushwad.
That's not bad.
Which I like as what we do for all dickwads.
Right.
It's just their name and wad, like spice wad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the Kush, you know, he hid his meetings with the Russian ambassador, Kislyak.
Right.
This is the person that Michael Flynn had been talking on the phone to, sort of warning that, you know, or just something along the lines of, you know, don't worry about the sanctions.
Right.
Or warning them about, not warning them about the sanctions, but saying, oh, don't worry about it.
Right.
Anyway, Kush had meetings with the Russian ambassador that were previously undisclosed.
We
found out through newspaper reports. And also, just lest we forget as well, the current attorney general, Jeff Sessions, lied under oath about his meetings with this Russian ambassador.
Right. So, okay.
Just put a pin in that.
Put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that, too.
Because, you know, Kislyak is a big reason why Flynn was fired.
Yeah, I feel like Carrie Bradshaw is like, is everyone meeting with the Russian ambassador but me?
I love all those Sex in the City memes people are doing
so
with that.
Good.
Anyway, let's go on to February 24th.
All right,
sorry, I interrupted
that's okay.
You.
Later that month, February 24th, FBI rejects requests from the Trump administration to basically knock down news reports concerning communications between the Trump campaign and Russia. So this is where Rens Priebus asked the FBI, like, hey, can you, like, say that this isn't true? And the FBI was like, kindly go fuck yourself?
Yeah, they're like, fuck no.
Yeah.
And then I believe that they went to Richard Burr.
And Devin Nunes.
Devin Nunes, who were the heads of the Senate and House Intelligence Committees. I believe that definitely Nunes did a little bit of their bidding.
Yeah.
It seems like it.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
Like calling reporters.
Yeah. So then on March 1st, that's when the Washington Post reported that Jeff Sessions didn't disclose contacts with the Russian ambassador, Kislyak.
Right.
And that was the whole, that was our last assemble like the Avengers, the whole hullabaloo.
Right.
That's when he ended up recusing himself.
Right.
Next
day.
The next day he recused himself. We thought he might have. He was on the brink of resigning, I think.
Yeah.
Like, people were wondering if it was going to happen. He just recused himself. And he said he would recuse himself from investigations related to the 2016 presidential campaign, including any Russia interference in the electoral process. And just, A, put a pin on that. But B, Rachel Maddow reminded or made note of this last night in his confirmation hearings.
Right.
He said he'd also recused himself from Hillary Clinton email probes.
Right, because he was heavily involved in that.
In the campaign. He didn't think he could be objective.
Right. So, moving right along.
Right. The next day, March 5th.
Comey asks the Department of Justice to refute Trump's tweet claiming that Trump Tower was wiretapped during the election. This just gets more and more bizarre.
I know, it's wild to see it all laid out. Like, oh yeah, so many things. Each one of these things could be enough to sink an administration, any other administration. But this is just all like dominoes. You know?
And then, and so then later that month in March 20th, that's when Comey confirms in an open hearing that the FBI is investigating any links between the Trump campaign and Russia.
Yeah.
And he publicly refutes this claim that Trump Tower was wiretapped.
And then remember also that Sally Yates was set to testify shortly thereafter.
Right.
And that's when Devin Nunes
canceled it. Right.
And then April 6th, that's when Nunes recused himself from the Russia investigation. And then he ended up, I believe, did he step down as chair?
No.
Just for the investigation.
Just for the investigation.
Yeah. So he's still chair of the committee, but he is not in charge of this investigation.
Right. And the Devin Nunes story still makes no fucking sense to me.
I know. Remember that story about the Uber?
Yes. Yeah. I've read so much about this and I still don't get it, guys. It still makes no fucking
sense.
Friends.
It's okay. We're getting it. We're on it.
It makes no fucking sense.
Let's move on to May 3rd. That's when Comey testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee about his decision to announce the reopening of the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails. And that's sort of when he made his comments like, I feel mildly nauseous.
Right.
That it could have like tipped the election.
Right.
But he stood pretty firm behind his decision. And he, you know, he gave his reasons why he felt like he did the right thing in the moment. Right. So, okay. Then on May 8th, so on Monday, that's when Sally Yates and former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, they testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And just, we didn't get to this in our Sally Yates part because we had recorded it before it happened. But Sally Yates just owned a bunch of lesser men.
Oh, man. When she got to Ted Cruz.
I know.
And just fucking schooled him.
I know.
I was like, oh, ouch. That's gotta hurt Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Our favorite L writer, R. Eric Thomas, he wrote a column. He writes a lot of amazing Maxine Waters columns. So he wrote one about Sally Yates and he called her the queen of constitutional clapback.
Yeah.
Which is just exactly what it is.
It is. Yeah. It is.
She was incredible. But anyway, that's just for that note, for that, the timeline. That day also, on May 8th, ProPublica published a report stating that Comey exaggerated the number of emails that Huma Abedin forwarded to Anthony Weiner. He had sort of said that it was thousands, but it turned out to only be a few. Okay. So they had to kind of walk back those comments. And then on May 9th,
so that brings us to the weirdest day.
Right. So the weirdest day that started with Jake Tapper coming in studs up and us resolving that.
That, yeah.
So the FBI, you know, they had to send a letter to the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, like clarifying that Comey misspoke about the number of emails forward. And then later that day, Comey gets fired.
Right. And so Trump cites recommendations from Sessions, which is weird.
We're going to get into that.
And Rod Rosenstein, who is the deputy AG.
Right. Okay, so let's get into the firing itself. So this is a pretty long section, but hopefully the timeline gives all of us friends
some context.
Some context and just to refresh our memory. So let's get into the details of the firing. So Trump apparently deliberated for more than a week before he ousted Comey. In fact, and this is buried in a Politico story, like the very end, Roger Stone, who is under FBI investigation, had encouraged Trump to fire Comey, like, for weeks.
No shit. He's like, under an FBI investigation.
And then, like, he was, like, braggadocious all over Twitter.
I also...
Roger Stone is such a Nimrod.
He's such a Nimrod.
Him and, like, Eric Trump are going to, like, accidentally give everything away. And Flynn, too, I think.
Flynn. They're just
and
not...
And Page. And Carter Page.
They're just not the brightest bulbs in the box,
guys. They really aren't. That's why I think the Sally Yates testimony was so, like, amazing slash, like, shocking. Because it's like, oh, that's what smart people say.
Yeah, right? Well, and it's also really interesting because Trump had said something a while ago. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was basically like, I like Comey, but he's replaceable, was basically what he said. So it's like, okay, it was kind of ominous and weird at the time.
Right.
So I guess Trump had grown enraged by this Russia investigation.
Yeah, no shit.
No shit. And he was frustrated by his inability to control this, like, out-of-control narrative.
Right.
And he repeatedly asked his aides why the Russia investigation wouldn't disappear and demanded they speak out for him.
Yeah.
And apparently he would scream at television clips about the probe.
I mean, that's all Trump does. He does is watch Fox News and occasionally CNN and like, tweet about how they're fake news. Like, he's not actually doing presidential things, so that doesn't surprise me. But, you know, according to this same story, like, the FBI and White House, like, their relations had been strained for months because Trump officials were pressuring Comey to more aggressively pursue leak investigations over disclosures that sort of embarrassed the White House and did raise more questions about Russia. And again, this goes back to the hearing when all those Republicans are asking about
leaks and unmasking.
It's like, this is not the thing you should be focusing on.
I mean, I think I tweeted it, but it was like Sally Yates is talking about how, like, the VP was misleading the public and underlying, like, behavior of Flynn.
Right.
And so Chuck Grassley is like, I want to ask about unmasking. Like, what?
We watched Chuck Grassley's testimony or questions, like, together, and we were like, oh my goodness.
Are you kidding me?
This is like the worst thing like we've ever seen. This is embarrassing. But then the other kind of bananas thing to me is that there was also a Wall Street Journal report that Trump was also really jealous of all, like, the media attention Comey was getting.
This is, like, the most Trumpian thing I've ever heard.
Right. Like, and it just, it's so ridiculous, but it doesn't surprise me.
Not
like,
even
he
a
doesn't
bit.
Like that he's, in on the one hand, he doesn't like that he can't control this, like, mushrooming narrative. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, he's jealous that Comey is, like, getting all the media attention.
Right, right. Because that's honestly all he ever wanted, was to be the center of attention.
Yes. That's why he ran for president.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do the job. He just wants, like, adoration.
Right.
He wants, like, crowds chanting his name. And yeah. Anyway. Oof, so let's move on to some more details. So there were three different letters that came from the administration.
Right.
So the first one was, I guess it was Rosenstein. So Rosenstein is, like Devin said, is the deputy attorney general.
Mm-hmm. Who is in charge
from the DOJ, in charge of the Russia investigation, because Sessions, quote unquote, recused himself. And we'll get into why that's sarcastic air quotes.
Right.
So he sent a letter to Sessions saying, I'm recommending that Comey get fired. And then Sessions sent a letter to Trump, like, I also recommend Comey to get fired. And then Trump sent a letter to Comey himself. And we'll get right into the details of that, because every little aspect of this story is bananas.
Yeah.
The fact that all three letters came on Tuesday, May 9th, mm-hmm. is highly suspect.
Right. It's not like this has been like a lead up. Like, Rod Rosenstein was like, okay, like, I believe this. And then Session was like, oh, I'm going to consider this, and then write his own recommendation.
Right. And that's what Matthew Miller, who is a former DOJ spokesman,
right,
that's what he said on MSNBC last night, that it's very, very suspicious that it all happened in one day.
Because right.
The sort of normal procedure is it probably would have taken much longer for these, like, conversations and recommendations to go up the ranks.
Well, yeah. I mean, firing the director of the FBI is sort of a big fucking deal.
It's a big fucking deal. And also buried in this New York Times story
right.
that had, like, all these little, like, quotes about, or not quotes, but just, like, little details about the firing. Sessions had been charged with coming up with reasons to fire him.
Like, I mean, that sounds right.
And this is a person who's supposed to be recused from the Russia investigation.
Right.
Like, there's so many matters around that, but let's just, that is really, really ominous to me, that Sessions was like, they were basically looking for reasons to get rid of Comey.
Right, right, which is nefarious.
Yeah.
And so Trump's letter, and I'm going to quote directly here, because I can't make this up if I tried.
This was Trump's letter to Comey.
To Comey. So, quote, "While I greatly appreciate you informing me on three separate occasions that I am not under investigation, I nevertheless concur with the judgment of the Department of Justice that you are not able to effectively lead the Bureau."
Yeah, this part is really weird. Because for me, first of all, I mean, Comey stated publicly in March,
Yes.
Trump team was under investigation.
Yeah.
So this screams of guilt to me.
Yeah.
Like, the to sort of play both sides, like, you could say, well, maybe Comey wasn't forthcoming with
right.
Trump. That doesn't seem possible to
nope.
me, because we know Trump lies about everything. We know Comey said, yes, the FBI is investigating Trump and his campaign
right.
into ties with Russia.
Like, right.
That's a thing that has been stated publicly.
Right.
Like, I don't... And also... the White House, when asked about this, they couldn't come up with an answer of, like, when this happened.
Right.
Like, when Comey allegedly told Trump three separate times.
Right.
They just tried to, like,
sweep it off. Yeah. And then, so Sessions writing a letter is obviously also very troubling.
Yes.
I mean, A, he recused himself from the Russia investigations. And if he is recommending the firing of the FBI director who's in charge of the Russia investigations, it's like a big conflict of interest.
Yeah.
And what's more, the reason they gave for firing Comey, which is the mishandling of the Clinton investigation.
Which is just, we have jumped the shark.
We've officially jumped the shark.
Gaslighting, I think Lauren Duca said this of Teen Vogue. She said, gaslighting has officially jumped the shark.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah. And so, but then Sessions had said in January at his confirmation hearing that he'd recused himself from the Clinton email matters. So
Either way, it's a conflict of interest.
Right.
Even if we were to buy the Clinton email excuse.
Yeah.
Let's get into that.
Yeah.
Because there's just no fucking way that this is the reason. Because, like we've said, Trump and also Sessions himself have praised Comey
for
the way he handled Clinton emails, and obviously because it fucking benefited Trump. It got Trump into the White House.
Yeah.
Very, like, arguably speaking, that is the nail in the coffin that got Trump into the White House. So, like, at a surface level, no one fucking believes this. No one with a brain actually believes
no,
this.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think Elizabeth Warren said it best.
Yeah.
She said, quote, "Does anyone seriously believe Trump fired the top person investigating his ties to Russia because he was unfair to Hillary?"
No one believes this. No one.
No one thinks this.
Because the timing is also off.
Right.
Because that's, and we'll get into that later, but like also remember that when Trump first met with Comey when he first became president, he blew kisses to him across the room. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that I forgot about that, and that's weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Let's move on to how Comey found out, because this is just, again, every aspect of this story is bananas.
Look, whether or not you like Comey, the way that he was summarily fired is wrong.
Yes,
100%. And it does not speak to the respect that the office of the director of the FBI deserves,
or the presidency. Like, and we've just seen them just shit all over norms, and yeah. So let's get into it. And I agree with you.
Yeah.
So James Comey, he was in our city.
He was in LA.
He was in Los Angeles. Previously, he was in Miami. He was doing some, I guess, recruiting events.
Yeah.
There was like a diversity and recruiting event in Los Angeles. So he was addressing, like, a crowd of, I guess, potential recruits. He was addressing bureau employees in Los Angeles. And I guess there was TV. TVs behind him in the news. And then the TVs in the background began flashing the report, the breaking news that Comey had been fired. And in Comey's immediate response was to laugh because he thought it was a funny prank.
Well, yeah. I mean, because that's not how you fire the director of the FBI. Even if you have decided on Tuesday, you wait until he's back in D.C.
Or you call him.
Or call him on the fucking phone.
But you know what happened? So, okay, while Comey was in L.A., Trump's, I guess, sort of private security, who I guess is also technically part of the White House, but he had been with him during the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that punched a protester,
right.
So this sort of private security detail hand-delivered Trump's letter to Comey to the FBI headquarters in D.C.
Okay.
So that's also really weird.
Yes.
There's a lot of reports that FBI officers were enraged and shocked by this action. And some were even in tears.
Yeah, I mean,
they openly worried that Trump would appoint, you know, a White House ally to lead them. And that, I think, is the big concern. It's like, what, now Trump is going to appoint someone to investigate him?
Yeah.
There's no way that's not a conflict of interest. And, you know, Comey, he was widely liked in the FBI, even by those who criticized his handling of the Clinton investigation. And, you know, he was seen as a good manager and an independent director.
Which is really what you're looking for in the director of the FBI. You want them to operate outside of, like, political pressure.
Right.
That's why it's a 10-year appointment.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, Comey took his independence so seriously that I think there are definitely criticisms of the way he handled things. Like, he thought everything he was doing was independent.
And right. And it just doesn't work that way.
It wasn't. Yeah. He made in my opinion, made a lot of poor decisions. We'll get into that. But this is, so Comey is the latest in law enforcement officials
being
key
purged.
Law enforcement officials being fired. So first it was Sally Yates.
Mm-hmm.
Second, it was Preet Bharara.
Right.
From the U.S. Attorney's Office. And now it's James Comey. And interestingly enough, Comey was previously scheduled to testify again on Thursday in Congress. And I don't think I'm not sure if it's still happening. I've seen conflicting reports, but I'm guessing it won't.
But it really should.
But I do think that they still want to talk to him.
Well, yeah. I mean, they've been talking to Clapper, who's a former, I mean, sure. There's no reason why they can't talk to him.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I certainly would love to hear
what he has to say. Yeah.
But who knows how much he can say, because a lot of things are classified. So who's in charge now?
Yeah.
Right now there's, you know, Andrew McCabe, who is a career FBI officer and he was Comey's deputy. He's now acting director.
Right. And so Comey was only 3 years into a 10-year term.
Yeah.
Which Congress established the 10 years to insulate the director, like I said, from political pressure.
Yes. That was done intentionally.
It was done intentionally and it makes good sense. And although the president does have the authority to fire the FBI director for pretty much any reason, Comey is the second one that's ever been fired.
Yeah.
The first one, Bill Clinton fired William Sessions in 93 for ethical reasons. Apparently there was documentation of like abuse of the office and abuse of bureau resources.
Yeah. And also, you know, for any other administration, firing an FBI director is a big fucking deal.
It's a big fucking deal.
I believe George Bush had a sort of tete-a-tete with his FBI director, and the FBI director basically stood up to him and said, if you want me to do this, I will resign.
Yeah.
And in order to not make it a big scandal, Bush backed down.
Right.
So like firing an FBI director is a really big deal.
It's a big
Certainly
deal.
It's unprecedented for someone who is actively investigating the president to be fired by the president. So like, let's be very clear. Like on that note, let's be very clear about what this is.
Yeah. I mean, this is, the timing is incredibly suspicious.
Yes.
It's the day after Sally Yates and James Clapper testified. And it's also reported after the firing that federal prosecutors have issued grand jury subpoenas to associates of former NSA director or,
National Security Advisor,
Michael Flynn, seeking business records as a part of this ongoing investigation into Russia meddling.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. So I guess the CNN report, they had discovered this story a few days before he got fired, but they were only able to publish it a few hours after.
Right.
So, like, there's a lot of interesting things going on that make the timing suspicious.
Right.
And again, this is a fucking president who's under investigation by the FBI for potential collusion with a foreign power, and he has fired that person who is investigating him. Like, that... I can't underscore that enough, but let's move on to some other stories that are swirling around that have just been reported after the firing. So, like you said, there was grand jury subpoenas for Michael Flynn as a part of the Russia probe. And also, Senate Russia investigators apparently sent a request to the Treasury Department's criminal investigation division for any information related to Trump. And
so the Treasury.
Yeah. And also his top officials and campaign aides.
Right.
So again, this is like a potential money trail that they're looking for.
Well, like I said it before and I will say it again. If you follow the money.
Maxine says it too, man.
Yeah. If you follow the money, you're going to land in Russia.
And also let's not forget that Eric Trump like openly admitted a few years ago that Russia completely funded their like $100 million golf courses. So
you know, not the brightest bulb in the box, guys.
Yeah. Also, again, this is another story that came out after the firing or around the time. So before firing Comey, Trump had charged a law firm to send a letter to Senator Lindsey Graham stating that he had no ties to Russia. And
which is, again, just a really weird thing to do.
Yeah, he's going through a lot of hoops to prove his supposed innocence.
Doth he protesteth too much if?
Too much if. Too much if. And Graham, he's leading his own investigation into Russian interference.
Mm-hmm.
He had said he wanted to investigate potential business ties between the Trump Organization and Russia. I guess Graham had like later walked back those comments and tried to spin it as like he's more broadly looking. But clearly Trump was spooked by that because he charged a fucking law firm to be like, send this to Lindsey.
Yeah. Just Lindsey poo and just let him know that this is not a thing.
Yeah. Graham wad.
Graham wad. And the deputy press secretary, Sarah Sanders, said on Fox.
Yeah.
Read the whole Russia thing. Quote, it's time to move on. And Spicewad was literally hiding in the White House bushes from reporters.
This is literally a story.
Yeah, he was literally hiding.
Well, and what I read is that there was no, and this might not surprise anyone, there was no communication strategy.
Wait, really?
Because a lot of people were, a lot of people were in the dark about this.
Right.
Obviously, Comey found out via the TV in LA. And so people were kind of scrambling. They didn't know what to do. Trump apparently got very angry that no one was out there defending him. Apparently senior officials were surprised at the blowback, which I'm like, are you that incompetent?
Right?
Or I don't understand. Like, how could you not think that there'd be blowback?
That people are going to freak out.
Well, they thought Democrats would be happy because, Democrats hate Comey. We'll get into that. But, like, obviously there was blowback. And so then they pushed a bunch of people on TV. And also Spicewad was also hiding in bushes. And Sarah Sanders was saying, we need to move on from the Russia investigation, which just seems even more shady.
Well, and this days before he was fired.
Yes, so we just learned this today.
Yeah, so that whole thing is funny. This is not funny.
Right.
Days before he was fired, Comey had asked the DOJ for a significant increase in money and personnel for the FBI to investigate the Russia election election interference.
This was about Hillary Clinton's email, so Like, Roger Stone is defending Hillary Clinton's honor on Twitter.
Obviously.
Like, we must, you know, their whole line was that the FBI, like, basically shit on their own credibility in the Clinton email investigation, which, again, is such bullshit. But, like, there's so many Russia-related stories swirling around. And this is obviously coming after Yates and Clapper testified. Of course, everyone's like, this has to do with Russia.
Right. I mean, this goes back to how they tried to, like, talk about the timeline for firing Mike Flynn.
Yeah.
You know, this sort of, like, all smacks of cover-up.
Yes, it does.
You know?
And there have been people, you know, in Congress who have intonated or said that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a couple of newspapers, editorial boards, just before we get into the Watergate stuff and then other reactions. So our local paper put out a piece by their editorial board that was titled "Absolutely Nothing About James Comey's Firing Passes the Smell Test."
I love LA.
I know. And then the New York editorial board, they also put out an opinion piece, and they came down, obviously, on Trump and this decision to fire Comey, and they said, quote, "There is no special prosecutor in place to determine whether the public trust has been violated and whether the presidency was effectively stolen by a hostile foreign power. For that reason, the country has reached an even more perilous moment." So this is just, this is where we are.
Yeah. And, you know, okay. And so then what was also weird was that late Tuesday night.
Yes.
Trump, it was said that Trump will meet in the Oval Office with Sergei Lavrov, Russia's foreign minister.
Which is just like, again, is this incompetence or nefariousness or both?
It's always both.
So that already happened. This meeting happened this morning. So they fucking announced it around the time Comey got fired or after. So this meeting happened this morning. Apparently Kislyak, the Russian ambassador, also showed up and no one like expected that. So I feel like they're just flaunting to us that they don't give a fuck about, they're going to break the rules. They don't give a fuck.
I mean, this has almost become a caricature.
It is.
I mean, I guess it's like they're trying to make it more and more like a James Bond novel.
We're being trolled by our executive branch.
We are being trolled by our...
Like, Jesus fucking Christ. So Kislyak was there because, you know...
Why not?
We live in a parody. Also, this foreign minister, Russia's foreign minister, asked... He, like, kind of was like, oh, is Comey really fired? Like, he was basically mocking us and, like, joking about it because we are a fucking mockery.
We're a mockery now.
Also, just to cap off the shit sandwich, no American press was allowed in on the meeting with Russia's foreign minister, but Russia media was allowed.
Okay, this also speaks to something that I want to get into in tomorrow's episode, but there was a reporter that was arrested.
Yes.
For asking Tom Price a question.
In West Virginia,
apparently.
Or he was a West Virginia. I don't know if it happened in West Virginia, but he was a West Virginia reporter.
Right. And apparently he was, because he was yelling the question out, which is what reporters fucking do.
I know. We're going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about that.
That is really sinister.
But like, that just like, put a pin in this no press allowed thing.
Well, everything about this is straight out of the Autocrats playbook.
It is. And it's terrifying. All right, so now let's talk about, like, the comparisons to Watergate.
Yeah, a lot of people brought up sort of this Nixonian element. So, you know, Watergate, just lest we forget, again, it didn't immediately explode into this historical scandal that eventually turned into Nixon's resignation. Like, people have pointed out that the Watergate took about 900 days to come to its conclusion.
Right. And it doesn't feel like that because when we read it in history books, it's like a singular event.
Right.
But at the time, it was a long, drawn out thing.
Yeah. And then, you know, the turning point for Watergate arguably came in the specific moment referred to as the Saturday Night Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Nixon attempted to kneecap a dangerous investigation into his wrongdoing, and just... FYI, they had already had a special prosecutor at this time.
Right.
And all this information is coming via Vox.
Right. So basically, in October of 1973, basically during the heat of this Watergate crisis, a special prosecutor named Archibald Cox issued a subpoena ordering Nixon to turn over copies of tape conversations recorded in the Oval Office, and Nixon said, fuck you.
unofficially, fuck you. He refused. And then so on October 20th, Nixon ordered the attorney general, his attorney general, Elliot L. Richardson, to fire the special prosecutor, Archibald Cox. Richardson refused and resigned in protest. Nixon then gave the same order to Deputy Attorney General William D. Ruckelshaus.
That's a good name.
It's a great name. And he also refused and resigned.
So this is, so these are charismatic dissenters, and I keep talking about them, and we need more people who are willing to stand up like that.
They don't exist in the current Republican landscape. And I've asked my mom, about like Watergate, Trumpgate sort of comparisons, and she said that the Republicans were better back then.
Yeah.
That there were sort of charismatic dissenters, and we're not really, we'll get into that. So anyway, just Nixon wanted his special prosecutor fired. The attorney general and the deputy attorney general both refused and resigned in protest. So then Cox wasn't fired until the then Solicitor General, Robert Bork, he was apparently later a failed nominee to the Supreme Court, which I'm sure this didn't reflect well on him.
No.
So the Solicitor General agreed to do what these other two wouldn't.
Right.
And fired the special prosecutor.
Fired him. So then my favorite person currently, Richard Painter.
On Twitter,
who was formerly the chief ethics lawyer under George W. Bush, noted on Twitter, quote, "Nixon had to go through three AGs to fire the man investigating Watergate. POTUS should not be allowed to fire the man investigating him."
Yeah, he's had some pretty amazing tweets.
Oh my God.
Like, just, like, putting all the ethical questions into perspective.
Yeah, Richard Painter is kind of my favorite person on Twitter because he's just, like, no bullshit about it.
No bullshit. And it's very interesting when you see people who served in Republican administrations be like, this is fucking bullshit.
This is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Nixon's attempt to bottle up Watergate investigation by, you know, he eventually fired Cox, but it did buy him some more time, but it ultimately failed because in August 1974, Congress had sort of moved to formally impeach and remove him from office, and he resigned before they could do so. So the question we have here is whether we've reached that watershed moment with Trump or not.
Right.
You know, Jared Yates Sexton, you know, sort of noted, like, this isn't just a president abusing his power.
Mm.
This is a president actively obstructing justice.
Yeah.
And into investigations, again, into him.
Right. And that's really, really scary.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least the New York Times is asking for nice things about Trump.
Oh, my God. I fucking forgot about that. Like, oh, you guys are friends.
Friends.
And we're catching ourselves. I love it. Do you remember, we talked about this a couple podcasts ago, about how the New York Times put out a call to say nice things about Trump.
Something nice. Something, NewYorkTimes.com.
Yeah. NYTimes.com. And it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
like, I think that there are a lot of people trolling that inbox now, I'm for.
Please troll that.
But probably one of my favorite things that happened on Twitter, and I just feel like is so indicative of the age we live in. So the Nixon Library came and studs up. They tweeted, quote, and this is the official presidential library.
Yeah, they're verified on Twitter.
Verified. They said, quote, fun fact. President Nixon never fired the director of the FBI. Hashtag not Nixonian.
Okay, so you know that your life has taken a sharp turn in the wrong direction when the fucking Nixon Library is subtweeting you.
Yeah, and they're like, even our dude wasn't that bad.
Right, but you know that your life is, like, bad.
When my future grandchild asked me, Grandma, what was 2017 like? I'm going to be like, well, sweetie.
Sweet baby angel child.
Sweet baby angel child. A presidential library subtweeted a reality TV show president who was under investigation for collusion with a foreign power. That's what 2017 was like. So anyway, those are the Nixon comparisons.
Right.
Let's move into sort of the implications and reactions.
Right.
Because obviously people had some feelings, our present company included.
Right. So Brian Schatz, a senator from Hawaii, said, quote, "We are in a full-fledged constitutional crisis."
Yeah. And
we are.
And, you know, Jackie Speier, So, fun fact, she was my rep, my hometown rep.
Got it.
So she
from when you lived up north?
In the Bay Area. She was on Brian Williams last night on the 11th hour. And, you know, Brian Williams said, one of your colleagues said this. Do you agree? And she said, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
I do agree. I think that Sarah Kendzior, she's a journalist who is an expert in authoritarian states and has had a number of really, really... really, really compelling, fascinating, must-read articles. And then Joy Reid, who's obviously an MSNBC anchor, they both had things that they said that I think are worth mm-hmm. talking about in relation to this constitutional crisis we're possibly in.
Mm-hmm.
So Sarah Kendzior tweeted, an incredibly ominous sign, no matter your view of Comey, he investigated and was removed by Sessions, who was implicated in an interference case. Authoritarian governments rewrite laws to avoid prosecution. They hire and fire accordingly. Firing Comey after March testimony and yesterday's hearing looks like an admission of Trump guilt. That they don't care should alarm you. They are saying, we know you know what we did and it doesn't matter because the subject of the investigation can fire the investigator. Members of the intelligence community and government need to make information about the investigation public. We have crossed the threshold today with the firing of James Comey.
Yeah. And then Joy Reid said, quote, we'll soon find out if we also have a compromised Congress in addition to a scandalized White House. If Senate Republicans rubber stamp a Trump lackey to replace Comey and don't appoint a special counsel, we'll know Rome has fallen. Trump, with Jeff Sessions and his deputy's help, may have just took a huge step forward, putting himself beyond the reach of law.
Yeah. And we're going to get into some of the Republican actions in a minute, but mm-hmm. first, can we just address this sort of talking point that some conservatives have put out there, including Senator Corin, who
right.
was also a lesser man that got his ass handed to him by Sally Yates.
He really did.
their line of argument is basically like, wait, I thought Democrats hated Comey. Like, Democrats hated Comey before they liked him. Okay. And this is, I think our local newspaper, the LA Times, sums this up perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, you can be critical of some of Comey's actions in connection with the Clinton email investigation and still be alarmed by the way he has been removed. And like we even said this in one of our most recent podcasts mm-hmm. that we believed in Comey's commitment to get to the bottom of the Russian investigations, despite what we believe to be poor judgment on the Clinton email case. Like
yeah.
you can hold both things
in your head. Yeah. And I have said this before, we both said this before, is that while I think he misjudged the situation in releasing that letter, I don't know that it was malicious.
I think he truly believes he did what was the best thing to do.
Right.
And I completely disagree with the judgment.
Yeah.
I think it was a poor judgment call, but I don't think it was nefarious.
I don't think so either.
And if you've seen him in these hearings, he's pretty clear that he's serious about all this. And a lot of people in Congress who are working with him said he's like one of the best FBI directors
right.
he worked with. So again, like this is just a weak ass talking point.
Yeah.
That doesn't excuse
right.
any of this.
Well, and then Burr,
yeah.
who is the Republican head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, said, quote, Comey has been more forthcoming with information than any FBI director I can recall in my tenure on the Congressional Intel Committee.
Yeah, and then also Jackie Speier, again, mm-hmm. Reiterated this very point.
Yeah.
That they said he's been really great to work with. So yeah, obviously this firing, shocked people.
Right.
I remember seeing on Twitter, everyone was like, holy fucking shit.
I honestly didn't believe it for a hot second.
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't real.
Isn't it bananas that Trump still has the capacity to shock us? Like,
yeah.
I never want to get past shock, but so much has happened.
Yeah.
That it's like, this is our quote unquote new normal, which we're trying to resist against, but
right.
like this was truly shocking.
Yes. I mean, even with the goalposts as far away as they are,
off a cliff,
off a cliff, this was still like,
holy,
what?
This is a holy shit moment. Yeah. And so it ignited a lot of Democrats mm-hmm. to call for a special prosecutor to lead the Russia inquiry. And, you know, by the way, this is up to Rosenstein to decide because he's the deputy attorney general. Sessions has apparently recused himself, quote unquote, sarcastic air quotes. But if there were to be a special prosecutor appointed, that would be Rosenstein's call.
I've heard good things about Rod Rosenstein.
That's the thing. But again, like,
I mean, I'm just trying, I am trying to...
I just don't want
to
get my hopes up, I guess, no, is what I'm trying to say.
No, not at all. But again, like, there are some people, like...
He is respected. Like,
General McMaster is another example.
He is respected on both sides. I have heard that.
Yeah.
But, okay, so Kirsten Gillibrand, she said, she tweeted, "No more excuses. We need an independent special prosecutor to investigate the Trump administration's ties to Russia." And then Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, he held a press conference and said the firing could make Americans suspect a cover-up. And he also reiterated calls for an independent investigation. Trump had told congressional leaders, including Schumer, that he was going to fire James Comey. And Schumer had actually told him, "You're making a big mistake. Right. You don't want to do this."
Right.
Trump did it anyway.
Well, and so a number of Republicans have expressed that they're troubled by this. So Flake, McCain, Amash, Burr, and Sass. But others seem to back Trump or, like, deflect a little bit.
Yeah, like Graham and Rubio and Susan Collins, I believe.
Right. So Justin Amash from Michigan, Republican from Michigan, said, quote, "My staff and I are reviewing legislation to establish an independent commission on Russia." He also called Trump's claim that Comey had cleared him three times bizarre.
Yeah, everyone is like, this is the weirdest part of Trump's letter to Comey.
Yeah, because obviously that's not even...
It's pretty obvious that you're trying to be like, "See, I'm innocent."
Yeah.
Burr, so this is what I don't understand about Burr. Like, he's a mixed bag. Like, he said last night that he was, like, basically, like, troubled or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then he also said this morning that there's, quote, "no need for a special committee, even though the Comey firing makes it look like," quote, "something's being covered up." Like, that doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't.
If you're worried about the potential for corruption or conflicts of interest, don't you think that would mean you would obviously need a fucking special prosecutor?
Right. Well, and then McConnell.
Fucking McConnell.
Fucking McConnell.
Mitch Wad.
Mitch Wad. I like it. He rejected calls for a special prosecutor because, yeah, why not? Like,
he's one of the people who has the most responsibility in subverting our democracy. So it doesn't surprise me, but it still disgusts me.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, pulling... You know what? Never mind. I can't get into it. He said that any new investigation of the Russian election interference would only impede current investigations, which is just such a mouthful of bullshit.
Like, doesn't firing the FBI director who's in charge of these investigations, doesn't that impede, like, the integrity of these investigations?
Like, you've got to be kidding
me. The mental gymnastics that these Republicans do could win gold medals. I loved what Peter Dow had to say about all this. He said, quote, "The sheer spinelessness of GOP lawmakers is staggering. It's no wonder Trump stomped the entire field of quote-unquote establishment Republicans." And this goes back to sort of the charismatic dissenter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my question. And this is maybe something we get into more deeply in our regularly scheduled podcast is, where is the line?
Yeah.
What is the last straw? Because the limit does not exist.
It does not seem to.
It is a math problem, and the limit does not exist.
It really doesn't.
And that is my question, because I think, because Trump voters, I mean, basically, like, if the most cynical read is that Republicans, which I don't think is very far off, is that Republicans want to wait until it's politically viable to be able to impeach him. And, like, Trump voters are in their own little world. I mean, right. 96 or 97% of them said recently in a poll they would still vote for him.
Right.
And if you looked at the Fox News' coverage, I didn't watch it like you do, but I saw, like, screen grabs on Twitter. One of the cryons said that James Comey resigned, which is just a lie.
It's just a lie. I mean, that's just very much like the propaganda.
They're brainwashed.
They're brainwashing.
So I don't know that my point is, I don't know that that moment with Trump supporters turning on Trump, I don't think it'll ever come.
No.
I think it is a pipe dream. I think it is a fantasy. And that is why I wonder if Republicans are ever
going to
do anything.
Right, because it's never going to be politically viable in their eyes.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. So it's just like they're just selling out our fucking democracy, and they don't care. They're spineless. I also love that Hillary Clinton declined to comment. I think that was smart.
Yeah.
So Al Giordano noted on Twitter, quote, "The dominoes are still falling from her last comments. Never interrupt your adversaries when they're imploding all on their own."
That's good fucking advice.
Yes, exactly. Because I think she's smart to not insert herself into the conversation and just, like, because then they could turn that into a talking point to to distract from what's happening.
Yeah, you just give people enough rope to hang themselves. She doesn't need to say anything.
That phrase always, like, kind of creeped me out.
It's a super creepy...
I understand the point.
It's a super creepy, like, saying, but it's also, like...
It's relevant.
It's relevant. Pre-Bahara even weighed in.
Pre-Bahara.
We go back and forth on this.
Yes.
Weighed in, quote tweeting Richard Burr, quote, "Everyone who cares about independence and rule of law in America should be troubled by the timing and reasoning of the Comey firing, period."
Yeah. And, like, again, my take is I don't fucking care about Republicans being troubled. Like, words mean nothing.
Right.
Time to put up or shut up. If you're patriotic, like you claim to be,
right,
you need to step the fuck up.
I mean, I just don't understand because what... If Republicans were actually conservative, if they were actually looking for solutions, I feel like this wouldn't be a problem.
The sort of like, what if Hillary or what if Obama did X, Y, we're beyond that.
Because matter.
We know that they're all fucking hypocrites.
Right.
There's no question.
It doesn't matter.
That if Hillary Clinton had done this, that she'd be impeached yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, Matthew Miller, again, who's a former DOJ spokesperson, he said, "We are about to see a river of leaks from career prosecutors and agents who are horrified by what the president has done." So
yeah.
I am really curious to see what's going to come out now. Because like we talked about, you know, people in the FBI and, you know, career officials in the DOJ, like they respect Comey.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see what sort of leaks might come out.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, if they were, you know, sort of on the fence about saying something before, now they're going to be like, fuck this.
Yeah. Totally. And just before we sign off, we have one action item that is actually courtesy of our listener, Rachel. She said, she tweeted at us, "Please mention hashtag sound the alarm events to protest the Comey firing." And that's organized via moveon.org. So if you go to moveon.org/sound the alarm, you should be able to find a demonstration or protest in your area. And lastly, obviously call your reps.
Yes.
I've seen some people say like to call the Deputy Attorney General's office or certain committees. I don't know how effective that is. I don't know how good of a use of your time it is.
I mean, they don't answer to constituents. So I would say...
Call your reps.
Yeah. First call your reps and then see what else you can do. But... definitely call your reps and tell them this is unacceptable.
Flood their phones.
This has been a pretty ridiculous week. And it's only Wednesday.
Yep. And it's only Wednesday. We're only 110, 111 days in of the darkest timeline.
Of the darkest timeline of Lost, where people sent J.J. Abrams death threats because they were so upset.
Oh.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, the darkest plot lines.
It is the darkest plot lines.
Yeah.
We are not encouraging anyone to send threats to J.J. Abrams.
Please
or
don't.
Anyone else.
I don't think he's in control of this.
This is just to say we're in the darkest timeline, but we will be here.
We will be here.
And if and when more big news comes out, we will assemble like the Avengers.
Yep.
But other than that, we will see you on Thursday.
For more information on today's episode, please visit our website at www.hellbentpodcast.com. You'll find the articles we've discussed as well as additional resources. You can follow us on Twitter at HellbentPod, and you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/HellbentPodcast. You can follow Devin on Twitter at DevinHandy, and you can follow Sarah on Twitter at Sarah Lerner.
Please listen on iTunes and rate us 5 stars, because that's just like the rules of feminism. We also have a Patreon, and you can find us at patreon.com/hellbentpodcast. You can support us for as little as $1 a month, and for $5 a month, you get access to exclusive content, mini podcasts, and behind-the-scenes looks at the making of Hellbent. And there are lots of other fun rewards for higher levels of patronage, including a monthly Skype session with Devin and Sarah.
And for that one, drinking is optional.
Optional.
Quote unquote.
Thank you.